Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, more specifically, The World According to Velvet. And we're reporting here live from planet Earth. Today is March 20th, 2015. It is the day of strange occurrences. I'm calling it Freaky Friday. It's a really powerful day. Some people, some astrologers say it is the most powerful we have just lived through or living through, one of the most powerful weeks of 2015. I don't know if I agree with that because I don't know that it's hitting my astrology chart like it hits some people's, but I feel like it's been kind of like a very, very freeing day, day, week, whatever you want to call it. Last week felt way more intense to me, but that's just me. So here we are in Whitefish, Montana. It's an early spring, or it feels early. You know, it is almost the end of March, and we haven't really had much of a winter for the last couple months. And so, you know, it does definitely feel like spring, and we may actually feel spring when the rest of the country feels spring. I don't even know what's going on the East Coast right now, but I know this week has been intense for a lot of people because there's been some pretty intense solar activity. And I don't know, I think I've talked about it before, but I'm going to bring it up because I think it's all tied to this new moon, is that probably 2004 to 2006, I went to a crystal conference. And there was somebody who spoke, and they were talking about the sun, and they were talking about these, they were talking about the sun. They were talking about the photon belt. And so the photon belt, theoretically, we are passing through this photon belt. And as I understand photons are little packages of light, little packages of energy, little packages of information. And as we pass through the photon belt, these photons come into the field of the Earth. And the field of the Earth is magnetic, as are our fields. And whatever photon belt that we magnetize into the field of the Earth plane are accessible information, energy, and light. And what this woman said is that these photons come into our field, but we can't unlock the energy of these photons until our frequency reaches until our frequency reaches a certain level. And when these photons match the same frequency as our field, then we can access the information, we can access the energy, we can access the light. And so what this woman talked about is that we have an emotional body, and in our emotional body are these emotions that get stuck. And it's only when we release the energy of the stuck emotions or feelings that allows us to access these little packages of energy. So according to it's one of the Kundalini yoga teachers. His name is Haribajan Singh, I think. He has a website called Catalyst Yogi. And he started writing a couple of years ago about what happens with solar winds, with solar flares and coronal mass ejections. And what he said is the sun shoots off these fast-moving electrons, okay? And they come towards the Earth. Sometimes they hit the Earth directly. It's a direct hit. Or sometimes we just get a part of it. This week, we actually had we didn't get a full direct hit, but it was a major solar flare and coronal mass ejection and hit our planet, and in some parts of the planet, it knocked down grids. So how that affects us as individuals is that wherever this hi, I'm on the radio. You want to be on the radio with me? Well, I might have to switch subjects because we have a guest on Freaky Friday, Free Flow Friday on the World According to Velvet. So you want to tell me who you are?
My name is Kurt.
And actually, Kurt was on the video that Jen and I did, and Kurt talked about how he wound up in Montana. And so me and myself in the radio land, we were just talking about how the solar flares are, this week kind of stirred up a lot of people. I don't know if you felt that. And so we were just talking about how the solar flares hit our field, and if we have stuck emotions, those electrons from the sun, they start stirring up and breaking up these old emotions so that we can release the energy and access these little photon packages of light and information. So if we don't repress the emotion or don't react to it, our heart unlocks it, our frequency increases, and we have greater awareness. And so we were just talking about how this week has been. And because today, happy spring equinox,
yeah.
And new moon and solar eclipse. And how are you doing?
Good, very good.
Anything cool you want to share with Radio Land?
Maybe some ideas. I need to buy an anniversary card.
It's been a year. How cool is that? So I had the honor of witnessing their wedding vows, Kurt and his wife, and so it's really perfect that you're in here today. We went down to the Flathead River, and it was way different than today. It was a lot colder, but it was beautiful. So I can't remember what the first year anniversary is according to the traditional, but you know your heart. Let it jump at you. So the other reason I call this Freaky Friday, and I don't know why I thought of this, but do you remember that movie Freaky Friday? It was like a Disney movie about this girl and her mom and how they never got along. So one Friday they woke up in each other's bodies in order to have compassion for each other. And today, at the time of the new moon was at 29 degrees Pisces. And so Pisces are the ultimate empaths. And so in some ways, we don't know what's going on in our skin, but we can get in other people's. We have sometimes more knowing about how other people are than we are know ourselves. And so the opportunity today is in somebody else's body or having somebody else's experience so you can have compassion for other people. You know? And so Kurt that's partially why you're here. He's part of this great new restaurant in Columbia Falls. How's that going?
It's going well. The Tea Kettle Cafe, 420 Nucleus Avenue, right across from Smith.
And so tell us what you've got going there.
We have sort of a fusion restaurant with noodle bowls, rice bowls, Thai curries, our own fresh-made Indian food, sauces are all made in-house, and homemade chicken pot stickers.
Ooh, nummy, nummy, nummy. I haven't been to Coney Falls much, but I did get to go over there and have lunch with my friend Kathy, and it was awesome. I did get to see you, and I was bummed you weren't there, because I haven't really seen you.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? So with Freaky Friday, we have the potential to have compassion for others. And plus, it's because it's at 29 degrees, it's the last degree of Pisces, and it's not the last time, but one of the last major planets that was at 29 degrees was Uranus. And it was at 29 degrees moving into 0 degrees Aries when that earthquake in Japan happened and the tsunami and Fukushima. And so last week I'm not feeling it as much this week, but I felt like there was a similar energy.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you why I felt that, but I really felt it doesn't feel quite as intense for me this week, and I don't know if it's... And I don't know because, you know, when I was doing all that Mayan calendar stuff, I was looking for all this stuff outside of us.
Yeah.
And so is it an internal earthquake? Is it an internal tsunami? Is it an internal plate shift or collapse of timelines? I mean, I think there's all these really interesting things that can manifest with this energy. The other thing, there's like 5 or 6 planets in Pisces right now, today. And Neptune, which is the planet of the dreamer and the mystic, or out of balance is the planet of the drug addict, alcoholic. It's the dissolver, so it can dissolve any separation that we have from our souls. It can dissolve any separation that we have from each other, but it can be really kind of foggy and there can be illusion and delusion. And right next to Neptune is Mercury. And Mercury is in detriment in Pisces. So again, unless we utilize it, it can create that foggy thinking, not clear. The opportunity, I think, is to tap into the divine, you know, because the Pisces can be tapped in. And so that Mercury in Pisces could allow us to tap into the higher mind, to the collective, you know, because the Pisces is all about the collective. The problem is with it being Freaky Friday is that we may not know that we're tapped into the collective and acting out the emotional trauma drama of the collective too. Because as Pisces, you know, we may feel emotionally stirred up, but because we're so tapped into the collective and to others, it may not even be our stuff. And that's always hard to differentiate. But if we know that we're tapping into the collective by responding and transmuting it, we can shift the whole collective too. And that's the opportunity for all of us today. So the other planet that's in Pisces is Chiron, and that's the wounded healer. And so Chiron in Pisces is, what are the wounds that affected us as individuals and the collective in separating from our spirit? I mean, it could have been the way that, you know, the church said, you can't get to God anymore, you have to go through a priest. It could be, you know, schools that, you know, slapped you down for being, you know, imaginative. You know, it could be your parents when you said, oh, I've got an imaginary friend, and they said, you're making stuff up. Who knows what our own individual wounds are, but I can see there's these great collective potentials for healing as a collective, the disconnect from spirit, the disconnect really from earth, because Pisces rules the feet. And I think when Pisces are grounded, they get as much information from earth as they do from heaven. And in fact, you know, we're like the acupuncture needle between heaven and earth. We are the conduit when we're open. All humans, but Pisces kind of have a natural inclination to do that. So that's what's going on. So there's another planet. There's a couple of what do they call it, asteroid goddess energies in Pisces right now, Persephone, you know, in the tale of Persephone, at the time of the equinox, Persephone starts her ascent out of the underworld onto the earth plane to begin singing the flowers up. While she's in the underworld in the winter, she's singing souls through the underworld. So we have the opportunity to come out of the darkness, to come out and grasp and grow with the powerful energy of spring. So then there's a bunch of planets, too, in Aries, and Aries is the first sign. It's the sign that says, I am, I know who I am, and I'm going to be who I am, and I don't care what you say, especially with Uranus in Aries, because Uranus is, like, pushing us and forcing us as individuals to awaken. It's the planet of evolution and revolution. It's also the planet, it's the electrician. So like any blockages, we're going to like fuse those blockages so that you fully are running your soul. So it's like an energetic thing, but it's also an empowering thing. Some people said at the time that when Uranus went from Pisces into Aquarius, it was the second coming of Christ, that it was the second coming of Christ expressed through the individual. So everything Christ said that we could do, he said, you know, what he said, all this you can do and more. that there was that awakening of that frequency, that energy within us as individuals. So the one of the things that maybe has calmed it down or made the energy a little bit more graceful is that Venus has moved into Taurus, her home sign, and so the opportunity of that we have now with this spring is to just savor what spring means. You know, what does spring mean to you?
Getting ready to plant the garden.
That's very Taurian thing.
That's all I've been thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah, and like now, you know, there's that energy in Chinese medicine, they call it anger, that the, you know, whether it's seeds that we've physically planted or dreams that we planted, you know, with a garden, you kind of plan out your garden before you do it. And it's like there's all of this potential within the dream, within the seed, that we just wants to push through the soil to the sun. But we just have to be patient. Because without the proper soil temperature and the right amount of light and water, the proper, I mean, right now, with all the water, a lot of those seeds would drown or freeze. And so it's like we're just whole, in some ways I feel like gardeners especially are holding themselves back. You know, we're kind of doing a little cleanup from the fall, yet we can't really get our hands in the dirt. And you want to know something really cool that I just learned about dirt? Maybe you've heard this too. There are antidepressants in the dirt. So when you put your hands in the dirt, you are absorbing these, I think they call them phytochemicals, that help with depression.
Wow.
So I think what I'm thinking, what I'm noticing is how many people are yearning for gardens.
Right.
And, you know, it's partially that, I don't want to speak for you, but partially there's that self-supporting, you're self-sustaining. Partially, I mean, you tell me why you want a garden so bad.
I primarily do a garden because it gives me joy, and I like to have that self-preservation thing going on. My wife and I, we put up 92 jars of food last year in a very small garden.
And do you still have any?
I have some of the tomatoes left, and we're finishing off the beans. So that's what gets us through the winter.
See, and that's what gardens always did around here, you know. At this time of year, my grandma said they would always go out and get dandelions, because that's the first green that starts coming up. And, you know, energetically, it's what our liver needs. You want to hear a really good dandelion story? So my grandmother's mother, so my great-grandmother, had a cousin who moved to California. And my great-grandmother, I don't know, they probably moved here 19-something, 1905, 1906. And the cousin writes her, "We love California, but there's no dandelions here." My great-grandmother sends her seeds. And so, you know, I my family's partially responsible for that invasive species. But my, you know, at that time, they knew that it was a food source. It wasn't a weed. And so I think we look around right now, there's stuff sprouting. How much of it is edible?
Probably just
dandelions. And when they first come, they're not as bitter, and that's, you know, they get too bitter and they're not as good to eat. They're tender, and so it's, and you know, this is the time that our livers are stirring. And so it just makes sense that we need the bitter of the dandelion and the cleansing of the dandelion. The other thing that dandelions, they're a mild diuretic, so they're good for the kidneys. But they're high in potassium, so we pee, they make us pee, but we don't become deficient in potassium. You know, there's that whole sodium-potassium balance thing that happens in the cells, and dandelions are really good for that. So let me see, what else? So there's a new moon, and because it's a solar eclipse, this new moon is, they say it's a super moon. And so with the super moon, it's a really great time to plant your seeds, whether you do it energetically or physically. You know, they say gardening, not all plants should be planted on a new moon, but a lot of, they say, to do seeds on new moon. It's also a really good time to start any new habits. Okay. And some people say it is the, you know, I don't know about this because there's debate about really when does the Aquarian age start, but that this is the last Piscean new moon of, or the last new moon of the Piscean age, that we're really moving into the Aquarian age, which theoretically we're going to, I don't think it's going to be gone. It'd be nice if things happen like that, like a snap of your fingers, but all of that old karma that was created during the age of Pisces, oppression of the feminine and war and even deciding who can eat and who can't. You know, because that's the other thing about gardens is that if you have your own garden, you're more sovereign. You have a freedom that people who don't grow their own food, they don't have that freedom. Okay. And, you know, with consciousness, there is a, I've seen a big connection between people who eat live food and the level of their consciousness. I know that there are people who eat crappy who are like mystics, and maybe that's how they have to stay grounded. However, I see that the awakening to the importance of good, healthy, vibrant, alive food is a big part of the process of awakening spiritually. And so I think that food is our key. Food is another key that we have, you know, that we can do this. I think what we're limited by here is our growing season. However, I've been kind of thinking a lot about working with the plant devas. Do you know anything about working with the plant devas?
I don't. I just know maybe some certain stones that are great for dark track.
Well, there was, so, you know, there's that theory that, have you ever heard of Paralandra or Findhorn? So Findhorn is this garden in Scotland, and it's an amazing garden, and they are totally self-supporting. It was a garden that was started on a rocky, barren outcrop of land. And the guy, I think there was a couple people involved to begin with. It's in the secret book. There's books about it specifically, but in The Secret Life of Plants, he talks about it, how these people went to grow, to create an Eden, so to speak, on this barren land, and they did it because they worked with the devas of the land. Devas are like the spirits that help manifest plants and life. And so I think there's devas of all life. And so they work with the devas. You know, they ask permission. The devas tell them how to plant, when to plant, what things to do to build the soil. And now that place is super vibrant. And I think the earth will work with us. The devas will help us as long as we honor it. And it's that whole act of co-creating. And I think that maybe that's what's stirring right now. And that's why people are wanting to garden, because they want to work with the mother. They want to work with the earth. And I was listening to this thing yesterday. It's called The Experience. Whitley Strieber has this radio program. And this guy interviews all these different people about their experiences, whether it's alien abduction or seeing sphere or orbs. And what he said, it all comes down to the ultimate message from all of these beings, however you experience them, is that the earth is our mother and we are all one. And so I think we're all being, we have a longing for that connection. We have a longing for connection to each other. We have a longing for connection to the earth. And I think I think it's just part of being human. And we have been enslaved, so to speak, and we've forgotten that we're here to connect to each other through our hearts, and that we're multidimensional just by our nature. That's just the world according to Velvet, though.
I can agree with that.
So I think, tell me what kind of devas you'd like to draw to your land.
I want to try to grow some potatoes.
Okay.
So, I haven't done too much of that, so something just maybe give me some aid in that, I would be happy with.
Okay.
Yeah, anything with garden, and so sort of thing.
Okay. Well, and you know what kind of comes to my mind, and I know I don't know very much about how they work with gardens, but I know like badger medicine is root medicine. You know, the badger is really any of those beings that kind of are diggers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are tied to the roots, and so I don't know. Badger is also a powerful healer's medicine. You know, and they will do whatever they need to do to effect a cure. Maybe you are you Irish? Maybe you better call in some Irish or South Americans, right? Because the potatoes came from South America originally.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, this last week was St. Patrick's Day, right? And I think a lot about how we have these holidays that are like drunken holidays. You know, drunken holidays, and they're timed so closely to sacred events. Like the Super Bowl is the weekend of in bulk usually. It's, you know, when the energy starts coming back. And so I'm wondering if people are still hungover from St. Patrick's Day and if that keeps them from connecting to the power of this day.
Possible, yeah.
Because, well, you know, and I keep thinking, I just have noticed that every time there's a sacred a holiday or a holy day, according to the turning of the wheel, there's some made-up holiday where people get drunk.
Uh-huh.
Like the Super Bowl was Super Bowl, Christmas, you know, Christmas is full of drunkenness. Thanksgiving. So all of these days that we have an opportunity to connect, you know, if we're drinking, how do we miss out? Not that it's okay to celebrate. I think celebrating is different than just going out and getting drunk. My stuff, Demi said yesterday, she goes, I don't like this St. Patrick's Day because the only thing about St. Patrick's Day is getting drunk, you know. And I've talked about the Irish in here before and St. Patrick and how when St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland, drove out the pagans, killed the pagans, cut down the trees, cursed the land, he disconnected the Irish from the way that they'd always dealt with grief. And so, and the way they connected to the earth. And so then they did the next best thing. They connected to a spirit of a mother kind of energy, but it's the spirit of grain. You know, the spirit of barley, the spirit of hops. And so instead of going directly to the mother, they went to what was available to them. And so, you know, I think that I'd like to think that there is a potential collective healing going on right now related to our inability to deal with our emotions and what we use, our addictions that keep us from freeing the energy so that we can access that higher knowledge.
Hmm.
Okay, I'm talking at you. Is there anything you want to share?
No, I'm all good.
I don't mean to put you on the spot. Do you have any wisdom to share?
Be kind to each other. Be kind to the earth. I drove over here today. I saw a lot of litter on the side of the road.
Oh.
I took the back way through.
Right.
Back roads,
right.
White fish, that always just makes me sad.
Do you remember, I'm a little bit older than you, but do you remember those commercials in the 70s about litter and this Native American would go and then this big tear would call withdrawal? And so, you know, it's funny, we pick one day a year to pick up trash. I remember there used to be a really big fine for littering, and I don't know what's happened.
Yeah. Everywhere. When the snow melts, there's no growth or green covering all that.
All right, so maybe that is what I'm going to ask of you. Go out and be kind to the mother and pick up litter and be kind to each other. Take care of your own litter. Don't dump your garbage on anybody else. And with that, we are going to say adieu, reporting live from Planet Earth. This is Velvet and Kurt.